If you had a child or a husband or a wife or a father or a mother who was addicted to alcohol or drugs or pornography or anything else which would destroy their lives, which of these two things would you want for them? Would you simply choose behavior modification to immediately bring their conduct under control? Or would you choose for them to be changed internally in ways that weakened or destroyed their addiction? The stress of the immediate situation can at times be so great and so destructive and devastating that we're just grasping for a change. We desperately hunger for a quick fix and settle for behavior modification. But if we do that, we are facing a very real problem. Behavioral modification does not address the internal disposition that causes and sustains the addiction. If those internal dispositions are not addressed, the quick fix is short-lived at best. As long as those dispositions are alive and well, they will constantly threaten to break their chains and again to consume your child, your husband, your wife, your mother, or your dad. A lasting solution will either severely damage or kill the inclinations that cause the addiction. But to damage or kill the inclinations, a person must address the problem that caused them to surrender to these inclinations. When a real, lasting solution occurs, a person changes who they are. Perhaps one of the most devastating transitions in the history of the gospel came when behavioral modification was swapped for conversion. How do Christians swap behavioral modification for conversion? Behavioral modification is very often characterized by, you must not do that, and that is wrong type of teaching. Now, this does not mean that we refuse to oppose evil or we accept evil acts. That's not under consideration. But I do suggest that when we attempt to control human behavior without answering the question, why, and without helping a person understand God's love, and without helping that person understand who Jesus Christ is, we're really not trying to convert them. We're just seeking behavior modification. That's all. Conversion is a response of a man or a woman who is willing to change his or her person. To change. It is based on the conviction that Jesus has the power to change us. It is based on the realization of our need for forgiveness. It is based on our desire to be forgiven. And it is based on our willingness to use God's power to redirect our lives. The converted person understands what God did in Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection from the dead. The converted person wants to be a different person who is alive in Christ Jesus. The most extensively documented conversion in the New Testament is the conversion of a fellow whose name was Saul of Tarsus, who of course became the Apostle Paul. Saul's conversion is one of few events that is repeated several times in the New Testament. In the book of Acts, we find the original record of the conversion in Acts chapter 9. But then Paul presents his account of his conversion in Acts chapter 22, where we are in our class on Sunday morning, in the adult class, and in Acts 26. A number of times in the letters which he wrote, which of course are preserved as books of the New Testament for us, Paul referred to the profound result of his conversion. One such passage that comes to mind is Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Also in 1 Timothy 1, 12 through 16, he said, I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has enabled me because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, although I was formerly a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent man, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceedingly abundant with faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. And this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. However, for this reason I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show all long-suffering as a pattern to those who are going to believe on him for everlasting life. Also in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, he says to the brethren at Ephesus, you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man that grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Did you get that? You don't carry around the old man as dead baggage. You put him off. And you put on the new man. He's not like that old man. He's different. You put on the new man. He uses this same metaphor in Colossians chapter 3, verses 9 through 11. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him, where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free. Christ is all and in all. Paul powerfully illustrates the difference between behavioral modification and conversion. Excellent example. Consider Paul prior to his conversion. In Acts the end of Acts chapter 7, the beginning of Acts chapter 8, we find him at the execution of Stephen and holding the coats of those who were killing him. In complete agreement, he directed a house-to-house search for Christians in the city of Jerusalem, dragged them out of their homes, and imprisoned them. In fact, he did many things hostile to Jesus' name. He actually physically abused Jewish Christians in the synagogues in an attempt to make them blaspheme. But consider Paul after conversion. What do we find? Well, do you think Paul would have held the clothes of those who were killing Stephen? Absolutely not. Do you think he would have led a house-to-house search to arrest Christians? Absolutely not. Do you think he did things hostile to the name of Jesus? Absolutely not. Do you think he would have physically abused Christians in the synagogues to make them blaspheme? Absolutely not. Do you think that he would arrest Christians in Damascus as he had planned to do? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Now, this is the critically important question. Why would the converted Paul not do these things? Why would he not do these things? Now, if you think the answer is merely behavioral modification, you need to understand this. Paul's message, the why that he did these things, or wouldn't do these things, was not, oh, God will get me if I do those things. That wasn't why he didn't do it. And the why was not, well, I'll go to hell if I do those things. Now, both of these things are true. But that's not the why. That's not the why. This here would simply be behavior modification. That's all it would be. Behavior modification. But in Paul's letters to the churches, he frequently dealt with the why. And you know what the why was? The why was, I'm not the same man. I'm not the same man anymore. I am a different man. When I understood who Jesus Christ was, it totally changed me as a person on the inside. Read those three accounts of Paul's conversion. Who are you, Lord? Who are you? I am Jesus whom you are persecuting. When he understood who Jesus was, it changed him. He became a different man. And one of the primary objectives in many of Paul's epistles was to help Christians recognize and realize that when anyone truly understood Jesus Christ, or should I say Jesus as the Christ, it changed them on the inside. It changed them. Understanding Jesus as the Christ changes the person. Now, after it changes the person, does that change a person's behavior? Absolutely. Absolutely. Why? Why? It's because they're not the same person anymore. They're not the same person. Outside actions change because the inside person changed. That's what happened to Paul. That's what happened to him. Conversion to Christ changed him on the inside. This is what Paul meant when he wrote to the brethren in Corinth about being a new creature or a new creation in Christ Jesus. It is the new person who comes into existence from the inside out. From the inside out. Conversion is much more than just changing what I do. It's much more. It's about changing who I am. And this is where too many miss it. Paul's message as he preached was not change religions. Jews changing religions or idol worshipers changing. Paul's message was learn of Jesus Christ and let Him change who you are. That's what he preached. That is exactly what he preached. Now, in case anybody's kind of wondering, well, what's the difference here? I don't quite get this. I want to illustrate very clearly to you the difference between these two in a very understandable way. Now, bear with me. Suppose that you had one of these opportunities that I'm going to list. Now, I understand that what I'm saying is impossible. So I want you to pretend with me for just a moment. Okay? You are guaranteed that God will never know about it. You're guaranteed that not one single person will ever know what you did. And you're guaranteed that no consequences will occur. As I said, I know this is impossible, but I want you to pretend with me for just a moment. Okay? Now, here are the opportunities. Remember now, nobody's going to know about this. You can take $1 million that does not belong to you and no one will ever know about it. There will be no consequences. You can spend 4 of the most romantic days that you have ever imagined in a private place of your dreams with the best looking man or woman you can imagine who is not your husband or wife. And nobody will ever know. You can spend 4 days in total privacy and wonderful surroundings drinking alcohol of your choice and taking the drug of choice. And nobody will ever know. And there will be no consequences. I want you to think about that. Nobody will ever know. Would you do one of these or any of these? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. Would you do one of these things? Now, if you would choose to do something evil, if you were guaranteed you'd never get caught or never have to pay the consequences, you do not understand the meaning of conversion. You do not understand it. You do not. If you would refuse to do something evil because it is not consistent with who you are in Christ Jesus, then, dear one, you understand conversion. you understand it. The foundation of Paul's approach to people was not on the basis of the need to change religions to escape eternal consequences. He asked them to change who they were because they understood Jesus as the Christ and that God had sent him. Paul knew that change. Paul understood the blessings that went along with that. He knew and understood because that is precisely what happened to him. And that is the essence of the message that is to be preached everywhere in the world today. Whether it's in America, South America, North America, it doesn't matter, Southeast Asia, Africa, Europe, wherever it is. It is not if you are in dire poverty and horrible social conditions, become a Christian and all of that will change. That is not the gospel we preach. That is not the gospel. It is not if you live in an area of severe unrest and disease, become a Christian and you will be physically protected. That's not the gospel. And it is not if you live in an area of starvation, become a Christian and you'll never be hungry again. That's not the gospel. That is not the gospel. We are talking here about something other than this. Now, you say, well, I know there's people out preaching a gospel that includes some of these things or all of these things. But that's not the gospel of the New Testament, dear ones. That's not the gospel. What is it? Well, the message is Jesus Christ can change the person you are on the inside. That's what his goal is to change the person you are on the inside. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. That's conversion. Your external realities will not determine who you are. Whether you're hungry, whether you're well fed, whether you are well clothed, whether you're poorly clothed, those do not determine who you are. God will determine who you are. And when God determines who you are, you live in hope, you live in peace, and you live in His eternal love. Even if you're hungry, or you're thirsty, or it's too hot, or it's too cold, you have all of this because of who you are on the inside. How can we become like Paul? Well, we do the same things Paul did. Paul had formerly not believed that Jesus was sent from God. He thought he was a troublemaker. He was out to do everything he could to squash everything Jesus had done. But when he faced him on the road to Damascus and Jesus said, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting," he believed it. He believed it. And he believed it so much that when he went into the city, he fasted and prayed. What was that a sign of? He changed his mind about this. Changed his mind. But that wasn't where it ended. Because the Lord told him that he was to go there and he would be told what he was to do. When Ananias came to him, he laid his hand on him and his eyesight came back. Saul could see again. And what did he tell him? "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name." And that's exactly what Paul did. And that's exactly what Paul preached. He wrote to the Roman brethren, Romans 6, verses 3 and 4, we are buried with him in baptism. As like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also might walk in, listen to it, newness of life. It is no longer I who live. It is Christ who lives in me. We're not just looking at behavior modification. We're looking at conversion. And let me say this. Those who have problems with different things vexing their lives as they try to live as a Christian, very often that's the problem. They're working on behavior modification. They need to be changed completely and let Christ live in them. Now, if Christ lives in you, you're directed by everything that He says. And He's laid it all down through His apostles for us in the Word. You act on the basis of what His Word says, not on what you want to do or what you think. You act on the basis of His Word because His Word is truth. And it's the only way that we can know a home in heaven when this life is through. If you haven't already obeyed the gospel, why not do so today? It's an opportunity that the Lord has blessed you with. We stand ready to assist you. Hear your confession of faith in Jesus as the Christ. Baptize you into Christ, just exactly the way the Scriptures teach, that you might have this newness of life. If you have this, had done this in the past, but you've allowed this life to take hold of you again, it's time to repent. Return to your first love. Come back to the Lord. If you repent and ask for His forgiveness, He'll give it to you. And then from that day forward, let Christ live in you. I leave the lesson with you.